Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't help but think that the Mets and Yankees, and really for me last night it was more the Yankees, but you could throw the Mets in there. Obviously, they're in the same stratosphere with the payroll and all that stuff. The Yankees years ago not going hard after Freddie Freeman, never really making him an offer. Obviously, falling short of Ohtani. It's not their fault. They tried for Ohtani, but I don't think the Mets and Yankees have done nearly enough. You know, the Dodgers have superstars, and they add on top of that. And with the Mets and Yankees, as we start to look ahead to the offseason, and once the World Series is officially over, we'll get more into that. It's always, well, this guy, maybe that guy. It's never, and that guy. And I think we got to let go of those restrictions and make sure that both these teams know that they have to go all the way in to truly compete at the level of the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's obviously a difference between not trying and not doing. Do you think it's a lack of trying or just a lack of getting it done?
I do. I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah, the Yankees could have had Freddie Freeman. Well, I don't know if they could have had him. They could have made him an offer years ago.
Yeah.
My whole thing back then, this was 2021, 2020, whatever it was. My whole thing was, he's never leaving Atlanta. He doesn't want to leave Atlanta. The Yankees never made him an offer. And then he ends up leaving and going to the Dodgers. Now, the Ohtani thing, the Mets and Yankees both wanted Ohtani. Yamamoto, same thing. Mets and Yankees both wanted Yamamoto. And they kept upping their offer like, that to me wasn't a lack of want or effort. That was just a lack of, there's nothing you can do about it. They're going to choose the Dodgers. Okay, well, in that case, you're screwed. But that means you better go over the top for the others. Soto last year, the Yankees drew their line. It could have, like, instead of us saying, well, plan B was great, it could have been Soto plus the other guys to make the team better. Same thing with the Mets as it pertains whether it's last year or this year. Like, I kind of took off the gas because I just wanted Soto and they got Soto. But why couldn't it have been Soto and Freed or and a top pitcher? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like, I do.
Same thing this year. It seems like, well, it could be Bregman or Alonso. Or if they bring back Diaz, maybe they can't do... If you're trying to win and legitimately compete with the Dodgers, the Brewers may be a nice story. You know, some of the other little engine that could teams are a nice story. That's not New York. We should have the higher expectations for the Mets.
I agree with that. Now, listen, so a couple things here. So the Angels are never going to be a threat to the Dodgers, okay? Once Cohen came with his money, now the Mets' ability to take away from the Yankees, that dynamic has shifted here. So what I don't understand, and I don't pretend to know the origin of this, but there was a point where New York Yankees were the destination for every Japanese star. And now you hear, I guess this came out with Ohtani, that the Yankees never had a chance and that he was always going to go to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are the favorite, you know, the favorite team of the Japanese player.
The first time they had a chance, too, when he went to the Angels, but...
That's true.
Remember, the Yankees were involved in that.
I know they were. I just don't know why it's changed here, so... But it has changed. It doesn't really matter why. I guess the question is, what do the Yankees or the Mets do to change this up? Well, the first thing is, you know, there's an opportunity this winter here, Sal, to really change the course of the future. Hey, the Mets, even I don't think the Yankees will do it, but the Mets, you want Scooble? Go get him. Somebody want Kyle Tucker? Go get him. Like, it's not like this is a free agent class or a trade or potential trade class where there's B-listers. There are multiple A-listers, right? And the other thing, too, is, and I think this is going to impact both the Yankees and the Mets favorably. When we talk about 2027, the very real possibility that there's going to be an absence of baseball, to me, you got to go for it now. Because if there is no baseball in 2027, or even if it's a condensed version, then, you know, now Judge's prime is further complicated. Same with Lindor, same with some of these players who are right in that, like, the middle of their prime. So I think that I think the Mets, I think, will take a big swing this winter. I do. I really do. I'm less convinced on the Yankees, but With your ultimate point, I'm with you. Like, there's no reason why there should be the Dodgers and, like, the Yankees and the Mets at the old are bowing to the Dodgers. Go and do the same damn thing.
The Ohtani.
Spend some money.
The Ohtani Yamamoto things are immensely frustrating because there was a realistic alternate timeline. Had Ohtani signed with the Yankees years ago, we could have been talking about Shohei Ohtani for the last 5 years as a Yankee and think about what he's done with the Dodgers. Imagine him doing that with the Yankees. Unfortunately, it wasn't the Yankees' fault. He didn't want them. Okay, he didn't want them when he chose the Angels, and he didn't want them again when he chose the Dodgers. Now, the second time around, the Mets would have been involved as well with Cohen's money, but he didn't want New York. He wanted them. Yamamoto, same thing. As for the other parts, that's where, to me, it gets interesting. You mentioned Skubal, or you mentioned Kyle Tucker. Yep. Do you think the Dodgers are going to just sit back and not do anything? Like we've how many times are we going to see the Dodgers? Seriously.
That's fair.
They did get involved in Soto to a little bit. Now, they weren't going to go to the lengths that maybe the Mets did, and certainly weren't going to. Soto wasn't going to have that money deferred. I don't know all the details there, but the Dodgers were ruled out. But it's not like they had no interest in him because they were already loaded up. I would expect them to make a run at Kyle Tucker and maybe even make a run at trading for Tarek Skubal. Like, there is no end to the way the Dodgers go out there and acquire star after star after star. So why then here in New York with two of the richest owners in the sport, with the biggest city in the sport in New York, why would we make it, well, okay, they got this guy and their payroll's this, so you can't go anymore. Like, no, I'm sorry. And I don't want to be greedy, and that's why sometimes I do layoff, but the Mets should be able to re-sign Diaz, bring back Alonso, and upgrade elsewhere, whether it's Skubal, whether it's Bregman. I know that not always spending money means you're going to have success. However, the Mets specifically are in a spot where they do have to overspend to make up for lost time here, where the Yankees are maybe a different position.
They do. The Mets have to close. The Mets need pitching. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Mets need another stick or two as well. So, and the Yankees need some stuff. I just don't know. Like, and I said this before, like, you look at the timeline, whether it was Arabu, who wasn't very good, you know, Matsui, who was great, Tanaka, who was really solid. Everybody's saying that, I don't know why this has changed, because the Dodgers simply have won, and they're more appealing. See,
Yankees won the spot, you're right.
I know, I could understand for a long time, this is not me taking a knock at the Mets, it's really not, but I can understand why for a long time, like, the star Japanese player never viewed the Mets as a real destination. Number one, the Wilpons were never coughing up the money, and number two, they weren't championship viable enough, they weren't the Yankees, right?
You know, well, not only that, they weren't the brand. In Japan, that you grow up seeing the Yankees.
And the Dodgers now.
But it used to be the Yankee thing. To your point, you mentioned Tanaka, you mentioned Matsui. The Yankees were the team that would land the premier superstar from Japan.
Yeah, and there was a point, Sal, and this is really your ultimate point, although you stretch it out to the Mets, which I get as well. There was a point any time, and I would just sit back there, and Yankee fans, you know I'm not alone with this, like, so-and-so Japanese superstar about to hit the market. I'm like, all right, when are we getting him? When is he posting? Yeah. When is he coming? What position? Where is he hitting? Is he behind A-Rod? Is he after A-Rod? Is he behind this guy? Now, it just hasn't worked out that way. I don't know why. I will say this, and this is the sheer reality of one thing that nobody really wants to address or really even want to say. I'll say it, and I'm from here, like you, so it's not a knock. New York is brutal. I mean, now the traffic
the
in
taxes
L.A.
Taxes and stuff?
Taxes. California is even more broken than we are. But the weather. Like, if you look at, and again, I'm not going to get into the taxes and this, but just a broad, you know, broad, like a little shot here. Taxes stink in both places. Traffic stinks in both places. So what has become more appealing from the Dodgers versus the Yankees and now the Mets? Well, the weather and now the winning. That's it. But, like, even the Knicks, like, when you're
also the travel to Japan.
That's absolutely a big deal. Good point.
But that was always the case.
True, when Arabu and Hideki and those guys, it didn't dissuade them. Now, I don't know if this isn't why LeBron didn't come or Durant or whatever, but if you're a free agent, all right, and you want the bright lights in New York, which, by the way, you don't need anymore because Madison Avenue has been mobile for 10, 12, 15 years now. The world is no longer just in New York City, as we well know. I think that you've got to really weigh some logistical issues. Like, all right, if you want to come to the Knicks and you want to live up in Westchester, get a beautiful home by the practice facility, fantastic. Now you got to come out on the West Side Highway on game night. It's a pain in the ass. You want to become a Met and you get a beautiful mansion out east? Fantastic. You could do that. Good luck getting to and from games. You want to be a Yankee? All right, go to Alpine, you know, which is an incredibly, you know, affluent CC's there, or it was. I know a lot of the Yankees that make a lot of money go to Alpine. Great. good luck getting back and forth over the GW when you try to go to a game. So there are logistical issues. But again, I say that there's also logistical issues in L.A. where the traffic is worse. So to me, it's really more a reflection of the way the Dodgers are now perceived.
Yeah, the brand.
The brand, their forward thinking, their ability to put together these very innovative contracts with the deferments. Hey, I just said a lot there. Let me say it more succinctly. The Dodgers are better and smarter and wealthier than both the Yankees. Well, not wealthier than Cohen.
Right.
But certainly the other things apply than the Yankees and the Mets, period.
I think that's the biggest thing. The Mets it's an uphill battle. It will take years to get their brand anywhere near where the Yankees were and are, and certainly the Dodgers where they are now. But if you just go because the Mets now have the money, that's the only reason why they're in the conversation.
Yep.
If all things are equal with the Dodgers, Yankees, and Mets, the Mets are third place. Like, I know that. They could have, and that's if all things are equal. They have to spend more to get in the conversation. That's why Cohen kept going up.
But they
didn't
spend as much as we thought extra for Soto.
All right, but
I thought there'd be like $100 million Mets tax. There wasn't.
But still, they kept going up and up and up. And at some point, the Yankees just tapped out and whatever. You want to talk about the owner's suite and the box, all that stuff, whatever it may be. Yamamoto, Mets up and up and up. They know that they have to do that. That's unfortunately what they have to do because of their history in comparison to the great Yankees and now Dodgers. But if I ask you, 10, 15 years ago, what was the better brand? Like, everybody wearing the Yankee hat.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. The Yankees were the national brand, the New York Yankees, coming off the dynasty run in the 90s. And now, I don't think it's any doubt, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. It's not even close.
It's the Dodgers.
You can make a case, Sal, this is going to be crazy, that the Dodgers brand is even more powerful than the most powerful brand in the NFL, which, as we know, basically runs the ship in terms of, sports attention. You could, was there a fly in here?
Like a moth. That can't be a good sign.
Swatting it.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I don't know. If there's a black crow that pops in, then we really got issues here. Jesus. Maybe Minko brought it with him, by the way. Did Minko bring a moth? Yeah. Minko's here. He's going to pop in later. I don't know. I think that, like, at the apex maybe of the Warriors brand a couple of years ago, that was obviously incredibly high. The Chiefs with Mahomes and the Niners back in the day, and even Dallas's brand, and the Yankees, which has been diminished a bit. You can make the case that of all the sports, the Dodgers have the number one brand. And the scary thing is, it's getting better. It's getting more powerful.
Right. Which is why, to bring it back, and we'll get back to the calls here, the Mets and Yankees, they may not feel like they want to go over the top, and they may feel like they already are doing it with the way their payrolls are. It's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, to compete with the Dodgers at the highest level, you're going to need more. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ralph is calling from Manhattan, starting us off. What's up, Ralph?
By the way, I thought New York was the center of the universe. Boy, I'm glad you opened my eyes because, I thought Manhattan was everything back in the old days. But
not as much as it used to be, Ralph. Mm.
I guess you're right, BT, unfortunately, because I liked it better that way.
But, me too.
But here's a side note before I say something. Ohtani, if there was any doubt in anybody's mind that dedication and hard work and putting in the time was not the key to success, Ohtani just proved them wrong because this guy is phenomenal. And I'm a tough marker, and this guy is unbelievable what he does night to night. If you want to go into a baseball season, guys, with 14 teams, somewhere, about 14 teams that are actually in contention. Well, we'll continue down the money road, and we'll go into oblivion, and baseball is going to go down the tubes, because if you throw enough money at your team, the Dodgers, proof in point, you throw enough money, you're going to be a contender. Now, do you throw that money smartly? Do you do it well? Do you do it with finesse? That's another story, but essentially, after all is said and done, guys, the most money wins, and that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not guaranteed, Ralph, and thank you for the call, but it certainly helps, and that's why the idea of like, oh, well, look at what the Brewers are doing, or look at what the little engine that could teams are doing. Oh, the Guardians, they compete all the time, and look at their payroll. No, in the end, you'd rather be like the Dodgers every time. And by the way, they could go out there and sign Tanner Scott, as they did, and he could be totally useless, and they still overcome it. How come the Mets couldn't get in on Blake Snell? Like, we always talk about some of the other guys that were out there. Blake Snell, other teams could, and the Yankees could have had him as well. Why couldn't they go get Blake Snell? Dodgers did. They get Glasnow on top of that. They get Yamamoto, Sasaki on top of that. Obviously, Ohtani. Like, why is there
Mookie
no...
Mookie Betts, yeah, Freddie Freeman.
Why is there no end to what the Dodgers could do, and they could just continue to churn out big trades with their prospects as well? But yet here we're hugging the prospects.
Yeah.
We're waiting for the development. We're not going all in on the free agents. We're not adding on top of, like you mentioned, Schoolbund. It seems like a perfect fit for the Mets. And even I would say, like, well, the Yankees don't need him. Well, why not? Like, would they not benefit from adding Tarik Skubal on top of already with Gerrit Cole and Max Fried? Why not? They're the Yankees, right? Go load up the way the Dodgers are.
Yeah. Well, especially with the news, you know, what came out where Rodon's not going to be ready for the start of the season. I think that Gerrit Cole is going to be pretty close to being Gerrit Cole, but he's not going to be ready by opening day. Clark Schmidt's going to be out until late August with the Tommy John. Yeah, I'm with you. There's a window. Go out and get him. You know, flex here. This is the
he's
time
available.
To flex, guys. He's available. Everybody knows that the Tigers aren't going to give him $500 million, whatever, there might be more, whatever the number is. And I'm not even imploring the Yankees to necessarily do that. But get rid of some of these prospects and bring him in for next year. And then from the Mets' point of view, you know, I really do think McClain could be special. And I understand, and I mean special, not good, I mean special. And I understand the pushback, like, you don't want to give up McClain for a possible rental. And I do, you know, from just baseball sensibility, I do understand that. But I even would disregard that and say, there's no way you can enter the year next year with Manaea.
But think about it this way.
And hoping that all these guys are back to form and healthy and the McClain. I'd give up anybody for him.
Would you give up Schwittler?
No.
Okay, but then.
Hold on.
It's the same thing.
I know. It sounds like it's a contradiction.
Well, it is.
It's not, though, because the Yankees don't need Skubal as desperately
as
the Mets
do. But the point is, those guys, Schlittler and McClain, are the most valuable commodities in the sport. That's the most valuable asset that you could possibly have. A young pitcher with star potential
that
is under control for years.
I know.
I'm with you. And by the way, if Skubal, like if it were Skeens, different story. Skubal's under control for 1 year.
Yep.
So that's the only, I'm not a prospect target. You can take literally anybody else. You want Alvarez, you want Mauricio, you want Benj, you want Jet Williams, like from a Met perspective for Skubal. Literally, it's Sprout and Tong, like multiple others. You could have anybody else. McClain's the one thing. Same with Schlittler for me. Like, you could have Dominguez, you could have Spencer Jones, you could have Lombard if you want. Like, to get Skubal, you could have, those are the guys we're talking about here. I can't give up the young star pitcher that's already shown star potential that's under control for years because that's the most valuable.
All right, so let me ask you this. I get it, and I respect the philosophy, all right? But even the most battle-tested philosophies could be pushed to a limit.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, let me say that the Mets open up the checkbook and they get Kyle Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where he played, well, they'll figure that out. Okay,
yeah.
You got Soto, you got Tucker. I'll even say that they're able to bring Pete on a deal, you know, that's better than last year. Not quite as nuts as some people, 6 or 7. That's not going to happen. Basically, what I'm saying is the Mets load up for 2026. You're still not giving up those. You're not giving up McClain for that one push for the World
Series.
Because
to me, he's a number two. So, and also, you could just say that you would just go sign him next year. Like, I know what you're saying. And maybe there is a world where you can convince me if it were McClain straight up for Skubal. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not giving up anything else.
It's going to have to be more than that. That's not going to get it done.
Well, but then I'm not. Then you
just like Schlittler for Skubal straight up wouldn't get it done. Yeah. You're going to have to give up more.
But you
Skubal.
But the Yankees could get him and the Mets could get him too, I think, without giving up Schlittler or McClain. And by the way, the point is, it's not about whether we would do it. Like, that's a separate conversation. It's more about
going for it.
Yeah.
You're going for it.
Yeah, and going for it is not like, well, we had a nice plan B.
Correct.
Or, well, we signed Soto and now
Yeah.
No, like,
it's not, listen, guys, this is not about the Yankees or the Mets being viable or being really good. That's obviously, now the Mets have more work to do, but both teams are going to be right in the mix next year. There's no doubt about that. This is about taking a swing for the fences that really neither team has taken in a long time. I mean, don't just try to squeak one over the right field wall. Let's go top tank. Let's go. Go nuts this offseason. Yankee fans are pissed. Listen, we aired the press conference. We aired Boone and we aired Cashman. We aired it a lot. Then we took all the calls. Not a single Yankee fan was happy with the way the season ended, and rightfully so. And the way the Mets season ended, Met fans were disgusted, and rightfully so. So get in the box, dig in, and try to hit one 450. There's big names out there. Let's go.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
18-inning marathon that the Dodgers end up winning. Ohtani terrific again. Doubles, homers, walks, and he'll be on the mound tonight for the Dodgers pitching. I'd be curious to see how he performs tonight. Like, last night, whatever, to me, not a must-watch. I think tonight, off of last night's game and Ohtani pitching, this is a bit of a must-watch. Now we get the Knicks tonight as well, but I'd be very curious to see how Ohtani responds and pitches if he gets, you know, if the Blue Jays get to him a little bit. Is he a little tired after last night's game? I mean, that's asking a lot.
I fell asleep, and I'm so disappointed. I watched 12, just about 12 innings or so after the football. I was bouncing back and forth. I fell asleep, and then what I did was when I got into the studio this morning, I just found the clips on, I don't know if it was YouTube or MLB, whatever. The amount of high-level defensive plays in that game, you know, whether it's Edmund who made a couple of really, really good plays, Vladdy with a sick throw, Hernandez with a sick throw from right field, the relays, the cuts. Like, to me, and I was saying this to you a little bit before the show, you know, even if it's a back and forth, now, if you love a low-scoring football game, this wouldn't be appealing, but take even, like, I don't know, 37-34, epic Chiefs versus whomever, Bills, championship, AFC, or Super Bowl, or NBA Finals, the thing hockey, the thing that baseball gives you, and it's not that it's timeless, which sometimes can be annoying, I get it, but I don't know, and maybe just hit me differently last night and watching the plays this morning, the amount of times where you're literally, the game's in the balance. I mean, if it's a relay, ball hit down the line, you got some guy chugging from first base. If he's fast, he's going to make it. If he's slow, you know it's close. The amount of plays last night were really off the charts incredible. So I think that's one of the differentiating factors with baseball. Now, some people still think it's too long. Some people think it's still too boring. I still believe that baseball gives you more drama and more moments of suspense than any other sport in a big game.
Yeah, I mean, I have no interest in this World Series. I'm just being honest with you. So, I don't care. If you don't care who wins and you're not betting on it, what's the draw? So, and I love baseball. If it were a team that I cared about, whether it be the Mets or the Yankees, or I had action on it, maybe I'd be locked in last night. I was checking the score throughout the course of the night, did not watch it. And then I got up this morning to see that it went 18 innings. I was like, oh, good thing you didn't stick with that. It's ending at 3 in the morning. Like,
it's insane.
That's where I have a problem. So I'm not going to dispute that it's not drama-filled. What I have a problem with, like, let's say your son, because back in when I was a kid, when I was Colts age, mm-hmm. I was watching the Dodgers and the A's. I remember Kirk Gibson's home run in 1988. I remember the earthquake in 1989. I remember the Reds sweeping the A's in 1990. I remember Otis Nixon, you know, bunting for the final out against the Blue Jays in 91, 92, whatever it was. Like, I was
Joe Carter.
I was in Joe Carter in 93. I was into the World Series mm-hmm. as a kid, even though it didn't involve my team necessarily. If a game won 18 freaking innings and it's at 3 in the morning, like,
I know.
You're taking all the youth out of play immediately.
Now, that's a bit of a different conversation, though, to be fair. Like, I'm with you on that. Like, I would, and they'll never do this based on ratings, so we won't waste a lot of time on it. It's overly romantic and it's dead as a doornail. It's dead as a dinosaur. But, yeah, I mean, the great thing for baseball would be to start, you know, a playoff game either at 6 or an afternoon game. Yeah. And again, that's never going to happen.
Like, imagine if that
game... Never going to happen.
But think about it, BT. If that game started at 4 p.m. Eastern time, so mm-hmm. 1 p.m. local time for the Dodgers.
1 p.m. Four here, gotcha.
Think of how sick that would have been yesterday. That if it's 4 p.m., all right, people throw it on, whether you're at work or you listen to it on the way home, and then it goes through the course of the night. Now everybody locked into the drama beyond the ninth inning.
Yeah.
That, like, if I were up and saw that it was going to extra innings, I would have been into that. However, there's a point, like, I fall asleep now. I was sick last night anyway. I was in bed by 9:30, 10 o'clock. I taped the sports line hit, and I was done. But point is, if that game started earlier, you would have had so much excitement and energy around it and people talking about
it. But now think about this. And again, you're not there yet because Sammy's still young.
Yeah.
But, I mean, listen, I played as much sports as anybody. I did not have the amount of games and practices my kids have. So, last night's an example. Let's say the game did start at 4. My daughter had a soccer game at 5:30. My son had a baseball playoff game at 7. You know, we roll in from his game. It's 9.
Right, but by the time you're home...
I know. But not every game's 18 innings is what I'm saying. I mean, even if it's a conventional 9 or even if it's like 10 or 11, they're missing the game because they're out. So it's they're out doing activities. So it sounds good. And I know I'm not alone in that because I see kids on the field all the time. There's more. It's funny. We always complain about, kids, nobody goes to the park anymore and just shoots around and plays pickup, which is kind of true. But there's actually more structured planned practices and games. So it sounds good. The kids would have seen it. The truth of the matter is mine wouldn't have.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people, though, if that game started at 4, most people would at least pick it up at some point. The game starts at 8, and then by the time it's getting interesting or good late, everybody's in bed. Like, there's no way. Even on the West Coast, the game ends at midnight. So that's a tough ask. If the game started at 7, it still would have been, you know, too long of a game.
Could you imagine?
6-hour game.
Could you imagine if that was the Yankees or the Mets last
night?
Yeah,
well,
could you imagine that?
I mean, I don't even know if I physically would have been able to stay up, but I guess the adrenaline probably would have kept me up.
Can you imagine today?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
Wow.
Yeah,
I wish. Yeah. I wish they were in the World Series.
Go ahead, Hop. You have something to add to that?
Yes, I do. Because there's one thing that you guys are missing, and I think maybe people don't know it, but you're right. Kids are never going to stay up that late. I totally get that. But in the morning, what my kid does every morning is he puts on YouTube, and they have a summary.
That's true.
Condensed game? Or
yes, totally condensed. 30 minutes.
Today it was about 33 minutes because they did a little bit of the pregame and went 18 innings. Yeah. Usually about 20 minutes long. Yeah. He watches the entire...
Same here.
Every single highlight.
He's right.
They cut out all the crap. So, yes, they cut out a lot of the 18 innings, but they gave all the good stuff.
But here's the thing.
So he's able to watch it all.
And you're right. And good job pointing that out. I omitted that. Now, the other thing you can do is you put on Quick Pitch on MLB Network, which he does during, like, World Series different. But, yeah, and it's a good, fast encapsulation. The highlights are right. It's good. The problem, I don't even know if it's a problem. The difference, though, and this is, again, a different topic. When I was watching the World Series, I was sitting there with my dad talking about the World Series, okay, talking about the game of baseball. So when Aunt or my son or hundreds and thousands, maybe millions of kids across the world wake up and watch YouTube highlights, they're probably having cereal or eggs, getting ready for school, and it's better than not watching it at all, but you're really maximizing the moment. I would say
no,
you're not.
It's totally different.
It's totally different.
I will tell you this much, though. My dad and I get to watch a little bit of it with my son. And so the three of us, three generations, are sitting there watching ball together.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful thing.
Would have been nice to watch it with my father, but he wouldn't have made it up even if he were alive. But he's not with us any longer, so. I get you guys all down there.
You
it's just
that.
The truth.
Like, I'm going to lay out there. By now, at least I know you're joking.
No.
I still don't want to laugh, but at least I know you're joking.
But I do remember, even though he wasn't a sports fan, like I remember the Kirk Gibson home run, because that was drama that would bring anybody in. And then my father, like, oh, here's an older guy that's hurt.
He even liked that, too?
Yeah, like, just I remember that moment as a kid. I was, 9 years old or whatever it was at the
time? That was 88?
All right, so, and I'm sure that happened. Did the game start at 7 o'clock? Like, I remember being up. I also remember being in and out of sleep for a certain World Series. Like,
me too.
I don't remember the exact situation as a kid, but I do remember being more into it. And also, just like, do you really care who wins this World Series? Are you rooting for Mattingly? Or
you know, I told you I am. I came around. I want to see Dodger get the ring. And right. I want to see the Dodgers lose. I'm tired. I can't stand the Dodgers
anymore.
I'm sick of it.
So then maybe you have more of I just don't care.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, if the Mets aren't there, or the Yankees, for most people, you know, they're not watching. And I'm not watching it the way I would be watching our teams, clearly.
Right.
Yeah, I was watching Mahomes last night.
Yeah.
I'll be watching the Knicks a little bit tonight, doing the dance. Yeah. But yeah, I'd love to see Mattingly win for him, and I'd love to see the Dodgers lose. I'm tired of them.
Sports Talk on WFAN, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. John is in Philly. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, before I go into my Yankee point, one thing that the Dodgers do, and you guys just mentioned it before, they have a unbelievable ability of identifying prospects and unloading key prospects. That's how they got Mookie Betts. And going out and signing guys like Freddie Freeman, that changes the entire dynamic of that team. Mm-hmm. But I think the Mets are actually in better position than the Yankees because they have farm system and the money, so they can replicate this in the years to come. But here's my my Yankee point. Because the Yankees, I think, have to operate a little bit differently. I say this with a lot of respect to Stanton. The guy's been a team player, a leader. Key moments he's come up, and he's owned up to his shortcomings, which I respect. I think the Yankees absolutely have to release Stanton this offseason. He's got 2 years, $34 million total in his contract. Go out there and get a first baseman. Or, and this is, hopefully this doesn't happen, but we don't really know yet what Judge's elbow is going to be. We hope that he rehabs it during the offseason. He has no issues. But if he has a situation next year where he re-aggravates that elbow, he then goes immediately at the DH spot. So I think the Yankees have to be much more proactive as they have not been in the past go out there and make some roster moves. They can't roll out the same team to next year.
John, let me tell you this. And the Stanton, here we are with the Stanton stuff. I think I've been talking about Stanton for 10 years, wanting him gone, and it is all about respect. I got you. But he definitely complicates what they could do. I mean, it's easy for me to say this, but I really think that I would do this if I was Hal. I would buy out Stanton. I would. I would make him disappear.
I'm sure you could trade him at this point for something.
Yeah, maybe 60, 70 cents on the dollar. That's probably pretty true at this point.
There's got to be some value from somebody in Stanton that even if you paid a portion of it down and didn't get anything back. Like, I think that there's ways to work with it if they wanted to move on from
it. And I think there was a point where maybe that wasn't the case with him, where he just wasn't physically viable enough. Yeah, I'm probably with you on that. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Marlins are paying $10 million of the money as well, so they're going to help defray that. So get rid of Stanton. I say that with respect. Bring back Bellinger, put him at first base, go get Kyle Tucker. That's, you want to make a real move, that's your power move.
Yeah, and I would say the same thing, or at least similar with, it's not just about spending money. And in the Mets case, it was just like, well, yeah, bring this guy back, bring that guy back, and then add on top of it. No, I would also look to change some things. Like, I would move on from McNeil, I would get rid of Vientos, I would try to get rid of Brandon Nimmo. Like, what does Nimmo bring to the table exactly? He's a subpar defender, doesn't run well, often injured, inconsistent offensively, even though the numbers might have been there. And I love Brandon Nimmo personally.
Yeah.
I think he's a great dude. I think he's a positive in the clubhouse.
He is.
I'm just trying to build a better baseball team with baseball players. And I can't have limitations all over the place. Same thing with Pete. Like, I'd bring Pete back as a DH.
Mm.
Pete's got to be the DH. End of story. He could play 80 games at first. He's not playing 162 or 150 at first. He's going to play half the games at DH, half the games at first, and in the big games in the postseason, he's going to be DH. Like, that to me is non-negotiable. I'm not bringing back guys just because of certain character traits or certain skill sets that they bring. I want a more well-rounded team. So not only spending more money and making big acquisitions, you also want to build the team the smart way. So getting rid of Stan for the Yankees would be a number one thing that I would have been doing for years. We talked about this. Mm. Nimmo would be that guy for the Mets for me.
Basically trying to get rid of guys who just are deficient in areas that generally creep up in the worst moments. Like last year, I was showing you, I know you fell asleep, but I showed you during the break there. There was a play, I'm not saying he's Mattingly or Keith Hernandez or even Freddie Freeman. Vlad Guerrero made a play last night where it was a ball from shortstop in the hole, and it was short, right? And there was obviously a runner who was trying to get to third base. So he comes firing off the bag. It's a vicious short hop. Like, it had some heat on it. Short hop, one motion, throws a dart to third, bang, out. There is no way Pete Alonso could do that.
Yeah.
There is no chance. Now, I know Pete picks the ball. Everybody, he picks the ball amazingly. Okay. Then he's got to basically look at the seams and throw a knuckleball before he unleashes one. So,
a free throw.
Exactly. We could sit here and say, he's worked hard on his defense. Again, I'm not trying to denigrate him. I'm just pointing out the obvious that people need to understand this now. When you are trying to win a World Series, that stuff matters. It's going to rear its ugly head. If you got an outfielder like Nimmo, who's got a rag arm, and there's a play at the plate, and he throws a lollipop to the shortstop, and guess what? The base runner scores from first base on a double down the line by a half a foot. Well, if you actually had an arm, you're out. And if Stanton could run, and Stanton could actually play defense, well, that enables Boone to do some things. So this is not knocking players that have done a lot for these teams, and that's not about being disrespectful.
Right.
It's pointing out the obvious. It's time to get to work for the Yanks and Mets. Let's go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We asked for Don Mattingly, and that can't happen for some reason.
How was that, Huff? Interesting.
You know how many texts I got yesterday, by the way? Oh, my God. How'd you get Sydney Sweeney on? I can't believe it. I'm so jealous. I'm like, dude, it's not that big of a deal. Like, it is a big deal to get her on, but there's nothing to be jealous about. We talked to her about her movie.
She wasn't in studio, put it that way.
That's a different story. Excellent point. If she was in studio and we got a picture with her.
That's a little different.
Yeah, this was a little bit. But Huff, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You get Sydney Sweeney, that's great. Where's Donnie Baseball?
I mean, he's in the world. He's in L.A. in the World Series right now, dude. He's busy.
He was on with Francesca's podcast the other day. Did you see that? I told you he was on.
We've been trying to get it because I just looked at my notes here before we came back from break, and I had, okay, we talked about maybe getting, I'm not going to name it because I don't want other people stealing any ideas, but whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a couple of different guests that we had talked about possibly having on, and Mattingly was one that we were trying to get on since we were doing the baseball card game like a year and a half ago.
Can you do me a favor? Can you not be like my wife and break my balls over everything?
He does break them, dude. He calls you out.
Like, say, hey, thank you so much for Sydney Sweeney.
Well,
that's what I'm looking for.
What I was going to say, it was kind of a backhanded compliment. I was bringing up the fact that you got Sydney Sweeney again.
We were just waiting to get to the compliment
part. Compliment. You got Sydney Sweeney. Everything else is, where's Donnie Baseball?
Dude, people loved it, man. Yeah. And one thing I got, like, oh, how'd you not ask her about this? And why did you... Dude, you actually think I'm going to be a 52-year-old? Just like, you know, risque stuff.
Well,
I'm going to be, let me answer, no. You think I'm going to be a 52-year-old horn dog on the air with a 28-year-old when I have a wife and a 9-year-old daughter, a 10-year-old son? Now, younger me, all for it.
I was very conscious of not turning that into a perv spot.
Now, there's no way we were going to do that. Yeah.
Or political. Like, somebody's asking me, did you? Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like you said, with a 28-year-old, like, we're not going down that road.
No, I'm sorry.
So there were a couple.
What if she was 30?
Nah, I'm still, like, I don't think that, I think that there are ways you could have fun with it and be flirty or whatever in certain spots.
She was awesome.
Harder to do that on the phone, but I didn't want to make that a pervy thing, and if you start asking about her bath soap, then it could go down a different, or even like, then that becomes a political thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's as charged as some, I hear you, I'm well aware of what happened and what's happened, but I don't know that that's quite. I guess for some, anything could be. It was politically charged. I think that's dissipated, but I hear you. I got you.
So that was it, but it was fun talking to her.
She was cool.
Okay, now we await Donnie Baseball. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888. By the way, my wife, I texted her, whatever, how it is throughout the course of the day. Hey, how's everything going? And then she writes back, I'm busy working. Sammy's not feeling great, but she's feeling better, but she's not eating a lot, whatever. And then later in the day, hours go by, and we had Sydney Sweeney on.
Yeah.
Who transcends sports talk. Like, I'm not going to tell my wife, we had Brian Baldinger on today.
Yeah. Breaking down the Wham Gap 22 hunt on three. But what we'll say about Sydney?
I texted her, and I kind of thought that this would be the reaction, but I just wanted to see. I texted her, I talked to Sydney Sweeney on the phone today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think she responded back to that?
Well, I've been around you two. Right. I don't think it bothered her at all.
What would you think would be a response? Hoff, if you care to chime in here,
like
you
maybe
could.
A one word, great. Was she cool? Okay. Like, very, very benign, nothing, no. Now, Hoff might get a different
Hoff,
answer.
What do you think there?
Different question, I should say.
Well, I think she would have been like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. Good for you.
It was even worse than that. She thumbed up, gave me the thumbs up on what I said to her.
Wow. Now, hold on. Question.
Not even sent a thumb emoji.
What I was asking.
Just tag the text.
Ooh, not even like the personalization of going to her emojis that she uses quite a bit and getting the thumb, just actually hitting like on what you wrote?
Correct. Don't care would have been fair enough, bad enough. When you said like good, nice, like those would have been bad. This was even lower than that.
Wow.
Just tagged my text with the thumbs up. I'm like... Exactly. I'm like, do you know who she is?
She has to know who she is.
Yeah, she
definitely
does.
Well,
then it started to come in a little bit.
We send her a picture of her.
No, no.
Then different emojis come in.
She knew who she was. Yeah. And I was obviously playing the game
around. Sure.
And then she gets into it like, let me give you the exact. I go, you know who she is? She goes, yes, hot lady with all the men salivating. I was like,
young
yes.
men too.
Yes,
care.
That is correct.
Hot
and your
men.
Husband.
I mean, hot old men. What's your old men with old men salivating?
Yes. With all the men salivating.
Oh, I think you said all the men.
That's
a good scout report. She nailed it.
And she wasn't impressed at all.
No, wow. I don't even think Jen knows we had her on. I don't think she does.
Shoot her a text in real time. See Hey, by the way, talk to Sydney Sweeney yesterday.
We were just so busy. Like, yes, it was one of those days. Come in, come home, run here, run there, run here, run there.
What do you think she'd say? Would you be like, oh, wow, that's cool? Or
yeah,
like,
I think she would be. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Hoff, did you tell your wife about it?
I did. She asked me how my day went. I said, I booked Sydney Sweeney, and she was actually very excited. Then she asked what we talked about, and I told her, she's like, you guys screwed that up.
Well, what would she want us to talk about?
She wanted us to get more controversial.
Like
no, she wanted to get more controversial. She wanted
like,
to get
what do you mean controversial? What, the ad, the commercial?
Yeah. She's like, why don't you talk about the jeans? I was like, well, we were talking about fighting and
the movie.
Weight. I also told JD, and he was very happy about that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He told me he was very pleased with that interview.
Some of my younger friends were hitting me up with that.
Well, listen, could we have, even if we didn't do the perf thing, which we definitely were not going to do, I mean, in hindsight, you know, could we have tapped into some other? Sure, sure. But really, it was about the movie, and she was pretty engaged, and I thought for what we talked about, it was good.
Right.
Were there other areas? Sure.
There's always going to be. That happens with me all the time with interviews, especially one like that.
Yeah.
Where you know there's not going to be, like.
We had 11 minutes.
Right. That's the thing. We had, and you know, Hoff was chiming in there a little bit. We wanted to make it about, it had to be about the movie. Like,
you actually had more than 11 minutes, but I was talking to her before the.
Yeah,
before
well, that's what I'm throw. Saying. You chewed up a minute and a half on the front
tell
end.
Did you call that?
And then in the.
No.
I don't think so.
There's always regrets with interviews.
Yeah.
But especially one like that, that is such a short time frame that you know it's never going to happen again.
Challenge for you, because I don't think I had any. Now, you've also known him a lot longer. I don't think we had any regrets about having Schmooze on. I think we pretty much had everything. He was here for now. We also had him for over an hour.
No, even with that, there were some that I was like, and I forget what they were off the top of my head, but I wanted to get to the Russ stuff. We got to most of the things we got to with him, but there were certain things maybe I think about, like, you know, that happens, I think, with any interview. You know, we could have Boone on. It's like, could have asked him that, or whoever it may be.
Yeah, I think if you don't self-reflect on the interview, you're probably not very good at your job. So I do that as well. I try to. But, you know, the key is to be ready. And quite frankly, we had no chance to be ready because we find out 3 minutes before she's coming on.
That's the other thing.
She's coming on.
We knew a half hour in advance. So, and also, there wasn't a natural sports tie-in there. Anyway, not to make excuses about it.
Check it out on all of, you know, Odyssey and all that stuff. Free app.
Joey is calling from Rye about his Yanks. What's up, Joey?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you? First time, long time.
All right, Joey.
About her.
So, just wanted to go back a sec to what you guys were talking about. I'm a Yankees fan, and I, too, have been watching the Dodgers, wondering why the hell we can't get any good Japanese players. And I just wanted to post something to you guys. There's a guy, George Rose, who unfortunately passed away 2 years ago, who was a really pivotal part of the Yankees organization. Mm-hmm. He was their first director of Pacific Rim operations. I felt I had to call in because I went to business school at George.
Okay.
And he left in 98, took a leave of absence to go translate for Irabu. And he translated for Irabu in the 99 and 98 season. Y'all remember that whole thing in spring training, 99, when Steinbrenner called Irabu?
Called him a fat toad.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember.
Exactly. Like, so George was right in the middle of that. Yeah. And he just got a reputation, and I'm saying this in the past tense because George unfortunately passed away 2 years ago, but he had a reputation.
2 years ago? That's it?
No, much more than that.
Okay. No, George Rose passed away. George Rose passed away 2 years ago, and he was a funny, nice. He was a very serious Catholic, like very Christian guy, very calm. Okay. But he had a great manner with the Japanese and with the Yankees organization. He was very tight with Cashman. They went to school together. And in 2007, they appointed him to go set up the Yankees Pacific Rim office in Japan, and he worked then with the Japanese community, getting sponsorship, working with the Giants, like working with the baseball teams.
So you just think that they really miss his presence and his ability to connect to the Japanese player and their families? Pretty much what you're saying here, right, Joey?
Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, even when George came back, like, he was involved in the whole, when Tanaka came to the Yankees, and I realized that was almost, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But he's been involved up until he unfortunately passed away at the age of 57 2 years ago. And I just don't know that the Yankees have had that type of presence.
Yeah, that you could be right. I mean, that liaison.
I don't know.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Well, I think she dropped her there.
It's an interesting thought. I did not know much about Mr. Rose. Sounds incredibly believable. I believe her. Business school with him. And I would think the personalization, because the money's going to be the money, and the geography is going to be the geography, but if there's a less than personal touch or a level of comfort with somebody that was the liaison from the Yankees to the Japanese baseball player and their families, that's an interesting way to look. I don't know if that's the whole thing, but that could be possible.
Yeah, I mean, I was learning right there as she speaking. I didn't really know about that. I think it's more that the Yankees are not the same brand that they used to be, plus the proximity with the Dodgers. Hey, look, it could even just be as simple as the Ohtani effect. Ohtani's the one guy who didn't want the East Coast, maybe for travel, maybe for whatever reason, but he's the one. Pre-Ohtani, the Yankees were still in play for the big free agents from Japan. Ohtani was in the mix to be with the Yankees. He wanted the Angels instead. And then Ohtani chooses the Dodgers, mm-hmm. and then that opened the floodgates to everybody else going with the Dodgers.
That's interesting as well. I mean, think about LeBron. Say if LeBron would have gone to the Clippers back in the day, maybe Chris Bosh goes to the Clippers.
Right.
You always need a Pied Piper, right? So it's probably not just one thing. The Yankees brand, which is still obviously really good, but it's been diminished. The Dodgers spending power, you know, Cohen's checkbook, the flight from Japan, from LA to Japan. The Dodgers that just keep winning here. So right now it's undeniable. There's more appeal for the Dodgers than the Yanks or the Mets. And our mission, that's what we started the show with. Let's have a change this offseason. You know, dig deep, spend some money, get a Tucker, get a Scooble. I'm talking about the Yanks and Mets. Just go all in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.